Hey everyone, thanks so much for joining me on the Slice of Healthcare podcast. I'm your host, Jared Taylor. Joining me today is Vivian Ho, partner at Pair VC. Vivian, how are you?
Great. Excited to be here on a Friday with you.
I'm excited to chat. Let's dive right in. Tell the audience. I feel like most people know you by now, but let's assume there's a couple that don't. Tell the audience about you.
I don't think everyone knows me yet, so I'm excited to say hi. First of all, really excited to be on this podcast. I've heard so much about it and really excited that I'm finally here listening, or I guess can listen to myself. So thank you for having me. As an introduction, I'm a partner at Pair VC. We're a pre-seed and seed fund based in Menlo Park in San Francisco. I guess where should I start? Do you want to hear about my background or more just Pair, what we do at Pair?
I want to start off too, because I'm always so curious when people get into the VC world, like what kind of led you into this space? What really interests you to drive that interest? Because there's so many, and then maybe what advice do you have for people that kind of want to get into this space?
Yeah, for sure. So I guess my love for startups and healthcare, I guess they came separately. So first, I really loved healthcare and I just grew up wanting to be around the health system. So I grew up in Shanghai. I interned at hospitals. I moved paper records up and down. They didn't have electronic records back then. So just guiding patients to the exam room. And just really loved that work, and I found it very empowering, even though it wasn't paid. And then eventually when I entered undergrad, I studied biomedical engineering, and then I decided to go into consulting, and I worked with healthcare clients, and I got to work with really big organizations, really big payers, providers, and pharma companies. And I just really loved being around healthcare people. I think healthcare people are some of the nicest people around, just fundamentally, like why work in such a complicated industry? And I think a lot of people do it because they're mission driven. So that's one thing that I really loved always. And then in terms of my VC side, I didn't know what VC was going to college or growing up, but I happened to work at an angel fund in Chicago where I went to college, and I got to sit in this co-working space and be around entrepreneurs. I was sort of like a chief of staff. Just did everything that I could to help founders, but also our firm, and realized that I just loved that job. And I think at the end of the day, you want to find a job where you find your passion or you feel like you're energized to go to work. And at the end of the day, I really loved healthcare, but I wanted to work with people who wanted to change healthcare and wanted to build their ideas from scratch. And so I ended up moving to San Francisco, and I decided to work at Airbnb, and it wasn't a healthcare company, but it was very mission driven. And it also had a big impact on my life because I grew up abroad and I just really appreciated traveling and seeing different cultures. And I also really wanted to see what it was like to work at a company where software engineers were the core of the company, not just a, you know, side innovation business. And it was really fun and I learned a lot. And I think with those two experiences in consulting with large organizations, but also working at a very, you know, just like kind of innovative tech company from the core, I really wanted to go back into startups in VC. And so went to business school, studied healthcare management. We have a healthcare program, which is really fun. And then met Pair VC there. We have a scout program at business schools, and I was lucky to be one of the fellows, and they didn't have a healthcare person, but we did invest in healthcare in the past. So because we're pre-seed and seed stage, we're a generalist fund and we really fund founders that are trying to work on a big market and have a lot of passion and have really strong founder market fit. So there's a wide them. And sometimes we may not be the experts in the industry, but we have enough validation that this is the founder that we want to back. And so before even I joined, Pair invested in Viz AI. Our first IPO is Guardant Health. We had a lot of successful companies like BioAge, for example. And when I joined, we were thinking of building out our healthcare practice a little bit more. And I was lucky that I got to help Pair with that during business school. And I started a podcast as well, similar to you, just curious to hear what is it like, you know, what's top of mind for a Series C, Series D founder. What did it take for them? And also their founding story. I was really curious about like you know, you're really successful today, but like, what was your MVP? Did you pivot? How long did it take you to get to product market fit? All these questions that at the end of the day, like for Pair, that's what we're trying to figure out is how do you get your first customer? How do you negotiate your first pricing? How do you close in a contract? And then also how do you deliver ROI? Because that's the hardest part. And the most interesting part where we find joy is just helping founders figure that 0 to 1 process. And so that's how I entered VC. When I joined Pair was 11 people. Now it's almost 26, 27. And we're investing our fourth fund. That's $432 million. It's a lot larger than our previous fund. And we are really lucky to have a lot of amazing partners who've started companies before. So our partnership has started 12 companies across different sectors. We have folks that cover AI, folks that cover biotech. And I think the beauty of Pair is that I get to work with the AI partner or the fintech partner, if it's like a healthcare AI company or healthcare fintech company, the founder gets the whole team. And we can talk a little bit about how we work with founders, but that's like the high level of how I got into Pair.
I love it. That's so great story. And yeah, and thank you for also having a podcast. I love, you know, the more podcasts, the better. And I love that your focus on, you know, how long did it take to get the product market fit? How'd you get your first customer? Those are big questions that often, you know, or especially early stage founders are wondering because they kind of feel like they have to go at that alone a lot of times, right? And it's, I would say it's a lot more difficult now than even a couple of years ago, especially in the healthcare space, just given where the market is. It's the sales cycles definitely, I don't know if you agree, but I see the sales cycles, no matter if you were selling to a health system or, you know, a digital health company, they expanded and people are a little bit more, it takes them a lot longer to get to that decision process. Not because they're not interested, but you know, when you're unsure about your next round, it definitely affects your decision-making, right? You hesitate a little bit more, you know, which, you know, whether that's good or bad is, we'll see how that all turns out. But my next question I wanted to focus with you on is just that though, right? Like, what do you think of the current state of healthcare, you know, as far as where things are at right now? It's been a crazy last 2 years two, 3 years since the pandemic, right? The market is much different.
Yeah, for sure. In general, I would say when people ask me about digital health and how it's going, I like to step back and think about the last 10 years because digital health deals have grown tremendously in the last decade, and we shouldn't forget that. Like, we've come so far. I think digital health was like a kind of a new term 10 years ago, and now it's every firm has a investor who focuses on healthcare or is excited about healthcare, and we all acknowledge that there's a lot of problems to solve in healthcare, and those problems haven't gone away. So I think there is a lot of opportunity. It is true that healthcare funding has corrected from the last 10 years, for the last 2 years, 2021 and 2023, or 2021 and 2022 have been kind of unprecedented years. And I think it's a good thing. Like, I think in healthcare, you need a regulation or a tailwind to push innovation. And unfortunately, like, COVID wasn't great, but COVID did force people to go virtual and try virtual. And I think even though it's not going to be like 70% virtual care, like we were so optimistic about, it might be 40% virtual care. And we can still like drive a lot of more efficiencies than we had before the pandemic. So I'm still pretty optimistic. In general, though, the overall venture ecosystem, since we're a generalist firm, we have more of a generalist perspective. It's adjusting a lot. Still, Q3 in the last quarter has been the slowest quarter since Q1 of 2018. And so right now the data is a bit muddled because we have, you know, this market downturn, you know, it's kind of going up right now, but still market downturn combined with a flurry of investments in artificial intelligence. So it's kind of hard to parse out, like, you know, the AI stuff versus the non-AI stuff. We're also seeing a lot of funds shifting to seed stage. Which is where we play. Late stage is slowing down or still slowing down. And we think that estimated late stage deal count will be on par with 2018. And so companies are managing cash, you know, eyeing for later fundraises. At a certain point, they're going to have to go out to fundraise. So I think next year will be an interesting year when people who raised in 2021 might be out in the market again. But hopefully we learn from this and really make sure we catch up on our, you know, on the revenue to multiples. And fundamentally, I'm still very bullish on healthcare. I just, you know, think overall the market is adjusting, given that interest rates are no longer, cash is no longer as cheap. And at the end of the day, we have to deliver the revenue. We can't just say a vision. So, you know, we're in the business of making money. And so I think, you know, they have to deliver the revenue that they promised.
Do you think if, I guess there's two potential effects of late stage funding kind of drying up a bit. I guess there we will either see more deals in terms of acquisitions happening right at that stage, right? If they can't get the money, they'll end up selling. Or do you think we'll also see a lot more companies going public? Because previously, because there was so much late stage funding, companies would just keep staying private. And we had a far less amount of companies going public as early as they used to, which is probably partly why you see all the companies that waited so long to go public, they're doing so bad right now because they were already at like their highest valuation. There was no room for that true growth. Do you think we'll see more companies if the drying of late stage funding goes away, I guess?
More companies being acquired?
More companies being acquired, but do you also think we'll end up seeing more IPOs maybe earlier than companies waiting? Because, I mean...
Yeah. I think IPOs are dependent on the market. If you IPO at a wrong window, there's also a lot of risk, right? And so I think it's not just healthcare. Like the IPO window was interesting, like, you know, Instacart went IPO, but I think there was very few companies that went public. And so I think it's kind of like a wait and see. We'll see. I'm not a public stock investor, so I'm not the press person to ask. I spend my time with the earliest companies and they're so far from IPO, but yeah, I mean, they have, you know, these companies have to exit in some way for the investors, because what really matters is distribution to our LPs, which are foundations and pension funds and hospitals. And, you know, at the end of the day, there needs to be some liquidation. And so hopefully there is a strong IPO market for the sake of venture and startup funding.
Let's talk a little bit, Vivian, about how companies get your interest. What type of companies pique your interest? What's the best way for them to maybe present themselves to you? These are the questions I hear from founders whenever they hear us talk to different firms. And I know it differs. And by the way, that is not a opening where once people hear this, they can just start reaching out to Vivian, like, make sure there's a fit there. But I would really be curious to hear, like, what type of companies really excite you when they come across your desk, whether through an intro or direct?
Yeah. I would say that if you think about venture investors, each one is probably, at least for me, we've made maybe 6 investments in healthcare this year, and that's a good year. So, and I probably see 30 companies a week, maybe more, maybe less, but that's a lot of companies in a year. So I would just like, I mean, it's tough, right? It's like getting rejected or getting declined. But every investor, you want to find the right investor for you. And I'm trying to find, it's a two-way street, right? I want to make sure the founder wants to work with me because Pair is the best partner for them to get to the next stage. And also that, you know, we want to work with them. Like, we are pretty hands-on. So like, do they want a hands-on investor? Do they want someone who can offer like hiring help and go-to-market help? Or do they, you know, investors are all, it's really like kind of picking the partner for the next 7 years. So that's like, I want to set the stage for that because, you know, I can say the things that I'm looking for, but really it comes down to like a lot of the founders that I've backed have known for a long time. It's like a long-term relationship. So I'm like, hey, you know, you're thinking about leaving your company, like come speak to me about different ideas. And hopefully I help you and connect you with some people, or I find like match you with a co-founder. And then you come back in like 2 months and say, hey, like I pivoted or made some progress. I have one customer. What do you think? Like, how should I speed it up? You know, or I don't know, like anything that I can help with. And then, you know, at a certain point they're like, okay, I'm ready to fundraise. And then I'm like, I've known you for a long time and I feel like we could work together for 7 years. So that's like, generally like, obviously there's always a case where someone like meets me for the first time, they're like, you know, amazing, and I'm like, okay, let's go. But I would still like to do references and just to like get to know the person a little bit more. And typically, like, what we look for pre-seed, so we do pre-seed and seed. So pre-seed's like anything up to 2 million. Seed is up to, you know, who knows, 4, 5, 6 million. It really depends. And we sometimes invest as early as, you know, there's just two people and an idea, maybe MVP on Figma, and then like one LOI. And so we do invest really early, but I think what we look for is team. So we want to see that there is a, you know, in healthcare, it's really important to have a multidisciplinary team. So I love it when there's like a founder that's like, you know, worked in healthcare before, or maybe both of them. And then one of them is more software oriented, but one is more go-to-market oriented. Or maybe one of them has experience. Maybe they worked at a clinical trials company and they're building a clinical trials startup. Like, there's like sort of this deep understanding of their area, because ideas are pretty easy to copy. And I think, you know, what differentiates you is your execution, your speed, your knowledge, your connections. Unfortunately, healthcare is just a space where people only trust each other if you've been in it before. And it's not as easy as building a consumer app is really hard to build also, but it's not like, hey, here's a beautiful app, come use it. It's really like, hey, do I trust you to work with my patients and to make sure that you're not leaking any of our data, and to, you know, there's a lot of things. So understandably, those sales cycles are really, really long, because on the other side, they're like, there's like 100 startups and we're picking the one that we think will actually deliver what they say they're going to deliver and drive better patient outcomes. And people are pretty skeptical, right? Like, we've worked so hard and our healthcare system is still, cost is still growing at 7% CAGR. So I think the bar for true impact is really high, and, you know, we're bullish on that, but that's just how it is. Also, in terms of the, like, are you solving a burning problem, like a hair on fire problem that is top 20 priority or top 10 priority for them? And maybe it's like the number one or three priority, because healthcare, you know, let's say a provider, they have 100 things that they're working on, and the last thing they want to do is work with a startup with a Figma demo, right? And like to really say like, hey, I'm going to give you 10 patients, and, you know, these patients, are they going to be safe with you? So I think at the end of the day, like, making sure you're solving a hair and fire problem where they're like, yes, I need someone to solve this, and please go figure it out. And I think that's what I look for, just making sure that the problem is a high enough pain point that the go to market can be a little faster than what we usually see. And then also in terms of like speed, so that comes with making sure that, you know, there's some regulatory tailwind, there's some technology paradigm shift. Like, for example, obviously with AI, that's really exciting. You know, there's a lot of opportunity to drive more efficiency. And like, how fast can you integrate all these new LLM applications? Are you AI native? Are you keeping up with like, what are the all the privacy components, and like how to make sure your app doesn't hallucinate, right? And so, you know, that's something that you kind of judge over time. Like, you have to get to know someone to really know how fast they execute. If I meet someone and they have zero revenue, and then 2 months they have, you know, let's say 50K in revenue, I'm like, wow, you actually deliver. Obviously, it comes down to quality and all that. But I think at the end of the day, the most important thing is just like, let's go build a product. Let's go move as fast as we can to make sure that this product actually serves a real purpose. And, you know, we can bring in happy customers. And so there's a lot of things that we look for. I would say it always, you know, each company is different, and each company is a new relationship that we try to like see, you know, is this a two-way street? Do they want to work with us? Do we want to work with them? And then once we decide to work together, we're like all hands on deck. We're like, you know, here are all our advisory council members for you to talk to. Here's our talent team. They're going to be embedded in your team. We're going to help you hire your founding engineer or your, you know, medical advisor. And so it's a big commitment on our side as well. So what we look for is to like make sure that, you know, once we invest, we're pre-seed and seed investors. So our goal is to get you to a Series A investor. We are not going to be leading your Series A or B. We will be continuing to support the company until IPO, but we're not the ones that are going to fund the company moving forward. And so I think our goal is just to get you to make sure that you're in a good spot for the next round and figuring out what is it that you need to de-risk. And I think in that evaluation process is like figuring out what are the main risks for the company. That was a long answer, but sorry.
No,
a lot of things we look for.
It was awesome. I just wanted to let you keep going because it was great. It was a great answer. And thank you for all that you and your team do. And I just want to quickly add, because you have to, right? Like you owe it to your LPs. You have to be picky. You have to find those really good companies. If this is something I tell a lot of founders, right, that maybe get bummed out, just because you pass or another, but that does not mean there's no business there, right? Like
yeah.
that's like kind of the word of like, don't let it get to, well, also let me tell you, if it gets to them, they're not going to make it. It is the reality of it, right? Like if one of the biggest things is you need to be able to handle rejection in this space because customers will say no, partners will say no.
Yeah, it's a tough job.
Yeah, it's not a no, it will never happen. It's just a no, you know, we have to be very picky essentially, right? Before we let you go, Vivian, I would love to hear some of your 2024 predictions, some things that come to mind when we think of where's healthcare heading in the new year.
Yeah. Really exciting that 2024 is here already. I guess I'll share one prediction for AI in healthcare because I've been spending a lot of time in that space. I think we're going to see a lot of exciting development in healthcare and life sciences. We've been spending a lot of time on, for example, transforming the entire life sciences stack from preclinical, so like target selection, protocol optimization, to clinical trials, automating real-world evidence collection, anywhere where there's a lot of like unstructured data. And if you think about healthcare, like 30% of all of the world's data is healthcare, and 80% of that data is unstructured. And what LLMs are really good for is structuring that data. And I think we're really early in this journey. There's a lot of exciting development from, you know, more of the model players such as like MedPalm to OpenAI, even, you know, newer players like Mistral. So I think there's a lot of exciting applications in life sciences that we're going to see, especially in like commercialization. If you think about medical affairs, there's a lot of writing. And it's interesting. I think there's like a stat that like life sciences companies spend more on advertising than CPG companies do. So I think there's a lot of opportunity to make that process more efficient and I think lower costs at the end of the day and drive better patient outcomes. We're also really excited about, I think a lot of people are excited about administrative workflows, back office, you know, RCM, and thinking about ways to reduce reduce provider notes and provider time. And so I won't go too deep into that, but definitely exciting. I think we're at the tip of the iceberg, right? Like we see a lot of exciting companies, but like how many health systems in the US have actually adopted these technologies? I think they're all piloting or thinking about it. So I want to get to a point where I think next year we'll actually see in practice and we'll be like, this is just how we're going to run things. And I hope truly that it's going to make a big difference and dent on the healthcare costs in this healthcare system, because we just have so, you know, we're at a point where we have such a big provider shortage. We have incredible rising costs. Employers are spending more on their employees. I think something needs to really fix it. And I don't know if it's AI or government, but we're always in the business of changing that. So I'm excited for a whole new year of investing in companies and investing in founders who want to make a difference. And yeah, a new year of Slice of Healthcare and Pair Healthcare Playbook podcast. We'll keep figuring out who are the best founders and how do we make them shine. So yeah, I don't know if that's a good prediction, but that's what I'm excited for.
I like it. No, that was terrific. Yeah, I'm really excited for the new year. It'll be interesting to see where things go. I think you're in a perfect space. I think I had a conversation with someone. It was over at Flare Capital earlier today, and we were just kind of talking about where do we see next year heading, right? I think it's fine for pre-seed, seed stage once again, maybe Series A. I think it will be very difficult still, again, for later stage companies, like you were saying, especially because a lot of them are getting out of the later stage investing, those firms. But it really, when those kind of obstacles come up, though, it really shows you who the best founders and companies truly are, right? When they have to get creative. But yeah, I really appreciate you coming on here. I hope we can have you come on again, and hopefully we run into each other at some of the conferences in the in 2024.
Come to the Bay Area. We're all back here, you know? Everyone's moving back.
I know. I need to do a we've been talking about doing a road show to do some live videos, so that would be fun to get out there. We'll schedule some time, and if I'm out there, I'll definitely let you know.
Yeah, we have an office for you, so let us know.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Vivian, and wishing you the best of luck.
Yeah.